Welcome back to the voice of the private sector and the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing.
And welcome back. Hour number two of Business Briefing here. First weekend in August. Glad you could join us wherever you may be across the region. In Seattle on AM 770, KTTH in Portland, FM News 101 KXL. Let's get right to it with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Pat, hard to believe we wrapped up July already, heading into August here. Why don't you give us an update, first of all, on both of the real estate markets in Seattle and in Portland?
Well, I think the markets have probably performed in a less than desired manner. Compared to last year, we've been down a little bit in terms of volume. We've been down a little bit in terms of maybe some expectations. Candidly, I think where we are reflects the withdrawal of the investor from the market. Now, having said that, Portland and Seattle are doing relatively well compared to the rest of the country. And in fact, you know, if you look at the declines in prices in these markets compared to the national average, we're doing much better than the nation as a whole. You know, from the top, Portland's still down about 7.8%. From the top, Seattle's down about 13%, but both markets are recovering.
Well, that's good to hear. And this time of year, living in the Great Northwest, August, typically a slow month for many folks out there who check out for vacation. Will that be the case this year, or is the market so hot and inventory so tight that things will just keep on rolling?
Well, you know, the inventory is loosening up a little bit. Days on market have extended a little bit. But to your question, I think that this August will be probably less of a decline than we normally see. You know, for your listeners' benefit, if you could imagine an M with the left apex being higher and occurring somewhere around May and the right apex being slightly lower and occurring the end of August and September, that's historically how the resale market occurs, and you have basically the summer doldrums, which you're talking about. I do not expect August to be on fire. I don't expect it to be as much of a drop-off as we typically see. I actually think the second half of the year will be better than the first half, and principally because consumer confidence is increasing.
We'll talk about consumer confidence, GDP, and the big Zillow-Trulia merger coming up in our next segment. Got to ask you, though, yeah, it's interesting, the rise in home prices, the market coming back as much as it has over the past few years, still a significant number of homes underwater. I know you have some updated numbers. I would imagine this has to play a role in the extremely tight inventory we have.
It does. It principally affects a move-up market because you do not have people turning their homes over and selling them. And the thing about underwater that I'd like to really call your listeners' attention to is that it occurs principally in the lower-end price ranges. The bulk of underwater homes are under $200,000. So that is the starter market and basically the fuel for the move-up market. So that has created a sort of a dead zone, if you will. Higher-end homes are selling, and higher-end homes have very little or proportionately very little underwater instances. And, you know, it's really hard to, you know, Brian, to be honest with you, it's hard to get really accurate numbers on how many homes are underwater, and I'll give you just a couple examples. CoreLogic indicated that at the end of Q1 of this year that there was 12.7% of all homes were underwater. At the same time, Zillow said that 18.8% of all the homes are underwater. I think that the number of underwater homes right now is probably 10 to 11% of all homes, and I would suggest that two-thirds of those are under 250,000.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because I guess higher-end homes, bigger down payments, in some case people pay cash, obviously more financially stable than these lower-end homes. And, you know, we talk about how hot the market is, but really, is it fair to say that we can't say the market's back until the first time buyers are back and they're spurring that upwardly mobile buyer, move-up buyer?
Absolutely. The overall activity level is still about 17% below what it should be for the population base in a normalized market. So we have quite a bit of upside left in terms of volume. That will not occur until the first-time buyer comes back. The first-time buyer will not come back until you have perhaps 3 to 4 quarters of consumer confidence above 90%, probably closer to 95%. And what I'm talking about here is the first-time buyer is usually 28 to 34 years of age. The first-time buyer is probably more dependent on the psychological certitude of having a job and expecting pay increases to take out a mortgage. Well, they got to qualify, but past when they qualify, they need to have some sort of assurance that they're going to be able to financially afford to maintain a mortgage and buy a home. A little different for people in their 50s or a little bit long further along in life. They have more equity. They have more certitude about their financial wherewithal. So first-time buyers, very, very, very dependent on consumer confidence. So consumer confidence number hit 90% last month, and I think you if you get a continuation of that for 3 or 4 quarters, first-time buyer starts re-engaging.
Patrick Stone, President and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us here on Business Briefing. With that in mind, Pat, you know, this can be a political hot topic, and this isn't a political show, but home ownership falling to its lowest level in 19 years. Share of Americans owning their homes, 64.7% in second quarter. That's down from 64.8%. And this is the rate that matched the level in the second quarter of 1995. So, I say it can be a politically charged issue because it's everyone's right to own a home, right? Going back to, you know, the 80s and the 90s. Have we hit bottom on that? Do you think we're going to start trending upward based on what you just shared?
Oh, absolutely, Brian, and I'm gonna have some fun with this a little bit. Actually, the right to own a home goes back further than the 80s or 90s. And if you look at home ownership rates ran between 63% to 66%, all the way from the 60s, actually a little bit higher in the 60s, and then trended in the 63% to 65% level. The surge up to 68%, 69% occurred with easy financing or easy credit. We've returned to what some people call a more normalized level. I think we're 1 or 2% below where we should be right now. Part of that's the prolonged recession. Part of that is the amount of underwater homes, the lack of a move-up market, lack of new home buyers, so forth and so on. So I think we've already overcorrected a little bit. And I say that because if you look at other industrialized Western countries, home ownership levels run between 63 to 67%. So I would guess it will pick a couple percent up from here.
You always give us perspective. That's what we need, because you see these numbers, and I think most people read the headlines and, you know, they think one thing when it actually is another. The big news, Zillow buying Trulia, and we'll talk much more about that coming up in our next segment. I teased this in our last hour. I asked if realtors will become dinosaurs in the 21st century. We'll talk to Pat about that here coming up in about 5 minutes in our next segment. But speaking of technology, I know that you, Williston Financial, WFG, have invested a ton of money and time and effort in upgrading your technology. You're an industry leader in this. Obviously, this is important, and I know you're trying to transform the real estate market in your own way, right?
Yeah, I think it's important to point out, in all honesty, that our efforts have been really principally driven by lenders and the process as opposed to consumer. And the reason for that is CFPB and the rules and regulations that CFPB have put forth are requiring a much higher level of data security, exchange of data, integration, and so forth. And obviously, we serve the consumer when they buy a home. We want to make sure they have a good experience. We want to make sure that their money's handled correctly, that they're treated properly, that their non-public private information is guarded. But the reality is that the process is being driven by CFPB through lenders right now. So a great deal of our investment and our integrations have been on the process side, not necessarily the consumer-facing side. Consumer benefits from it. They don't necessarily see a difference other than I will tell you, you will see the time it takes to close a transaction becoming shortened dramatically. Right now, I think in Q1 it was 52 days. My gut is within 3 years it's going to be down to 22 days. That benefits everybody. Yeah. It makes the process more seamless. It creates fewer errors. It just makes the whole event more pleasant for everybody involved.
We're looking forward to that. Okay, as promised, when we come back after the break, we'll talk more about the Zillow and Trulia merger with Pat Stone. Also, the latest numbers on consumer confidence, which Pat touched on here earlier, and GDP, some good numbers there as well. That and much more, along with Keith Okada from RPM Mortgage in our next half hour. Stay with us on Business Briefing.